Very thankful for the blessings of the Lord this morning. I'd like to start this morning. That really set a good foundation for the message. But I'm going to deviate from the theme of that song for just a moment, if you will give me a little liberty. I really hope that all of you brushed your teeth this morning. But if you did, and you squeezed it from the middle of the toothpaste tube, I've got bad news for you. You did it wrong. And don't even get me started on toilet paper. You know that some people haven't even figured out that it goes over and not under. That's not a suggestion. That is a standard. And even have you ever walked into church service and you wondered, what in the world are these ladies wearing? It's like some of the skirts are so short, it looks like they ran out of fabric halfway through. And don't even get me started on the men. Bless their hearts. Some men look like that whoever cut their hair must have been blindfolded and been spinning on the chair when it was cut. And don't forget the drivers. On the way to service this morning, some of you might, you know the ones I'm talking about that are cruising in the left-hand lane as if they're sightseeing. And it's like, move over. Just move over. Some of us are trying to get someplace and talk about waiting. I don't even know why they call it fast food anymore. You go and you wait, and a lot of these places, they say they're fast food, and it's as if they have to go kill the cow and pluck the chicken before they serve it. It's like, what is taking everybody so long? Honestly, it seems like just, well, maybe not so honestly. I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like that people just don't know what they're doing anymore. It just seems like people just don't do anything right anymore. And, you know, even you come to service, and during the song service, people don't sing. And then the preacher gets up and, you know, he just goes on and on and on and on. And anyway, isn't life great? Are you encouraged this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. So, it is easy, is it not, for some people to criticize just everything and everyone about us. And as I was meditating and started, I thought, Lord, what are some things I can use to illustrate my point so I'm not offensive to anybody? So if anybody was offended, I'm sorry. I mean, you still ought to squeeze at the end and put your anyway. But do you realize that we can, being critical, and that's what I want to address this morning, is a critical spirit. I'm going to talk about a critical spirit. Sometimes it's not just about toothpaste and traffic. It's about a deeper issue of the heart. So a negative, let's just write it on the board. We don't want to forget. Speak about the critical spirit. Critical spirit is having a negative attitude of fault-finding, complaining, and judging other people harshly. It tends to, someone that has a critical spirit, they tend to focus on the flaws and the shortcomings of people, and what's wrong, often without grace. Often without love and understanding, pointing out the problem without the solution, pointing out the flaw in a very negative way, without compassion, without kindness. And a critical spirit is when criticism becomes your default setting. I mean, does it mean that there's not a place to say, I wish they'd move over so gently and calmly as you're driving down the road? But do you realize that a critical spirit is when it's your default? It's everything is just negative. It's always looking at the flaws. It's focusing on that. It's letting that, you don't just notice what's wrong, but you dwell on it and you talk about it, and it colors how you see things and people. That's a critical spirit. The root and motivation behind a critical spirit, it's multifaceted. But one reason that people can start having a critical spirit is pride. Starting to think that I'm just a little bit better than everyone else. My opinion is better. I could take the issue of the way you hang the paper. Over is the proper way. And I could go into detail, which I will not from the pulpit. But there is a proper way, and there's a reason for that. But what about you have little children? Have you ever gone and seen little children do this or the roll of paper? So that would be one reason why you might have it hanging going the other direction. So when a child goes and does this with the toilet paper, it doesn't spiral off. So see, there might be a reason someone does it wrong, if you can put it that way. There might be a reason for it, but I have literally heard that these kinds of issues have caused big marital problems. Are you aware? Just small little things. You say, you know what, if you push the toothpaste in the middle, is it really that big of a deal? Is it worth having a problem in your marriage over that? But do you realize there are problems in marriages and homes because of little insignificant things like that? The Lord wants us as a people. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge and see things for what they are. But He wants us to have a spirit of love, a spirit of compassion, a spirit that is not being judgmental and just this cutting spirit and attitude. Pride is the root, like I said, one of the roots of someone who has a critical spirit, because it lifts me up by putting other people down. So if I can put someone else down and criticize them, some people think it makes them look better. You know, we need to be careful about that. Tearing someone down. This is where we live now, all right? This is just day-to-day living, so I hope we'll be blessed by the critical spirit message. Tearing someone down does not lift you up. Tearing down the way someone looks does not make you look any better. Tearing down the way someone acts does not make you act better. Pointing out someone else's flaws does not make you the better person. But pride is behind a lot of this. And we know what the scripture talks about, pride. Pride is wrong, and we are to be an humble people. You rarely see someone that's really humble just criticizing everybody. Another root of criticism is insecurity. See, it's almost the opposite of pride, isn't it? It's because someone is insecure that oftentimes prompts them to be critical of other people. If I can't do it very good and I'm insecure in what I'm doing, and then I'll just point out the flaws of everybody else because I want to try to bring them down to my level if I'm insecure in what I'm doing. Another one is jealousy. Resenting other people's successes. Resenting the strengths of other people. Resenting the blessings that someone has been experiencing. And so then sometimes people respond with a critical attitude or spirit because they're kind of jealous of what someone else has. Another cause of a critical spirit is legalism. This is the way it is. A rigid spirit spiritually that devalues other people that don't measure to your standard of living. Have a critical spirit of that. Over in the book of Luke, I'd like us to turn and read in the 18th chapter of Luke. By the way, I'd like to ask you all, does anybody here really enjoy being around someone that has a critical spirit? Have you been around someone that has a critical spirit? It's like pulling teeth to get something positive from them. It's everything's negative. And it's just like everything they see, it's just It's negative, negative, negative. No one's good enough. No one does things like they should. Everything is bad. Nothing's done right. And it's always without pointing at the positive. They dwell on negativity. This morning is not reflective of the Spirit of Christ. And this kind of thing starts in the home. All right? Now, the Lord gave me a message, if He has me bring it, for where I'm headed. But living the Christian life starts at home. It starts at home. If we can't live like Christ at home, we can come to service and look good in front of everybody, but we're going to go back home. How are we living in the home? A critical spirit, folks, we don't want to take this in the home. But you know, when there, it's almost like criticism almost is like has a snowball effect. When you get going on being negative, it's hard to stop. When you get into a discussion, how you view things, your perspectives of one another in your marriage, children with their parents, parents with their children, husbands and wives, how you view one another. Do you know a critical spirit will tear up relationships? It'll tear them up. It will tear up congregations. And so here in the book of Luke, we'll begin reading again in chapter 18 with the 11th verse. Jesus told of two men that went in the temple to pray. And the one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Does that sound like the spirit that Christ wants us to have? I'm so thankful. I'm kind of look around the congregation, thankful I'm not like them. Father, thank you. You know, he was spiritualizing a carnal attitude. You know, we need to be careful this morning about spiritualizing things in our life that they're just flat out carnal. So if someone gets angry and upset, what are they? Let's spiritualize. I'm righteously indignant. You can take wrong attitudes and you can dress it up to make yourself feel better spiritually. That's what this man was doing. I'm not even addressing you all, but Lord, thank you, I'm not like him. It was a critical spirit, a spirit of pride. And he said, I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust adulterers, or even as this man, this publican here. And then he began to give his virtues. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, and smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How do you view people around you? Are you looking for the blessings of the people in your life? Or have you been focusing too much on their faults? Would it be all right if I told you I was just going to preach where we live. Is there anybody here that doesn't have any faults? Besides me? Justin? Is there any of us here that don't have any faults? You know, we all have faults, don't we? We all have faults. So if you want your, and you can find fault with this message. You know, that's something I found. We have camp meetings coming up. If you go to camp meeting with a critical spirit, you know what? You're going to be satisfied. Because you will find something to criticize. You can criticize every single message you hear. You can criticize every preacher that gets up, says, well, yeah, I know they have a fault, or faults. I know they have, you know, do you know what they did, you know, 5 years ago, you know what they said, as if it takes away from what they're offering in the Lord today. All of us, the preachers, we're all human. Everyone has faults. And whether or not, you know, you may look to who's sitting next to you, and you say, yeah, they've got some faults. But do you know that you do too? So in your relationship, are you focused more on what they need to change in what you don't like about them? Or are you focused on yourself, saying, Lord, help me to grow. Help me to be more like you. Help me, Lord, to have the graces of Christ in my life. A critical spirit is very damaging. Now, Jesus taught us in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and I'll read some of it, but most of us are very familiar with it. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the first verse, Jesus said, judge not that ye what? That you be not judged. Now, we talked about this a while back. This is the favorite scripture of sinners. When you try to share the truth, don't judge me. The Bible says, no, that's not what it says. Jesus said to judge righteous judgment. Jesus was saying here, let's read on. He said, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then he gave context. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? He said, thou hypocrite. See, this is who Jesus was addressing. He was not telling us that there are not to be judgments in life. He was addressing the hypocrite, the person that had so many needs, and yet they were so concerned to carnally tear down others around them and point out their flaws. It's kind of like someone that with a burden goes and says, brother, there's a need I wanted to talk to you about, and there was something I was wondering if you could consider, and they shoot back and say, yeah, well, who do you think you are? You have this problem in your life. Jesus said that we're to receive instruction and that we're to receive admonition with humility, even if you don't see it at the time, to receive it with humility. But someone that doesn't have that humility, it's like, don't talk to me, and they just fire right back. So Jesus is teaching us here, the attitude that you have and how you conduct yourself with other people, that's how you're going to be judged. So if you begin to get critical with everyone else, God is saying there's going to come a time that I'm going to judge you that same way. I want people to look on me with compassion. I want people to look at me when I mess up, when I make mistakes, when I don't handle things just like I should have, and then you regret it. I wish I could do it over, but you can't do it over. I want someone to be there to forgive me and love me anyway. But if we look at one another with a spirit of criticism and judgment and just cutting people off, if they did this and they do that, Jesus is saying, don't do that. Because he said that kind of attitude is going to come back on. There are consequences, and again, there's many. Let me say this first. The critical spirit, someone that has a critical spirit, focuses on the faults of others more than their own. So would it be okay for us to do a little self-examination this morning? What have you been focusing on lately? In your home, husbands and wives, have you been focusing on the needs of your spouse, or have you been looking at your own life? The people that you work with, the people in the congregation, is kind of looking around, just kind of judging and looking at the faults and what they're doing wrong, or are you spending more time examining your own life, saying, Lord, help me to grow? So in the book of Galatians, in the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse, the scripture says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how the Lord wants us to view one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If you bite and devour, you know, that's talking in essence about a critical spirit. That word bite means to sting. It means to sting. It's striving and contention. But you know, a critical spirit has a way of stinging, doesn't it? It's not just someone coming in love, wanting to assist you in a problem. Someone that is critical is doing it for the purpose of tearing you down. And whether it's true or not, criticism does sting. You may know, it's like, you know what, they're right. But when it's presented without the love of Christ, when it's presented trying to tear down, it doesn't feel good. I imagine all of us have been the object of criticism somewhere along the line. And it doesn't feel good. So then we need to look at our life and recognize that how we talk to other people, how we conduct ourselves with our husband, with our wife, with our children, with our parents, in the congregation, at work, and at school, that how we talk to people has an impact on how they feel. And if we begin to recognize that we're starting to just, again, I imagine probably everyone has been critical at some point. Yes? Now, just because you've been critical at one point doesn't mean that you have a critical spirit, but that's where it's going to start. So we have to then start recognizing in our lives, I'm starting to maybe be a little bit too critical of things. I need to back off. Lord, help me to have more compassion. Help me to be not so judgmental in how I look at things. And help me to look more with kindness on those around about me. He said, be careful that you bite. Don't bite or devour one another. Because, in other words, to devour means to tear apart. There are a lot of relationships this morning where people are tearing one another apart. They're devouring one another. Brothers and sisters, don't devour one another. Do you know brothers and sisters can sometimes be a little bit too unthoughtful with one another? And that's putting it very kindly. Do you know brothers and sisters should be kind to one another? Don't be critical of each other. Show consideration and love and compassion. Don't tear the other one down. Because the result is it's going to bring about destruction. He said, lest you be consumed. So this is the consequence of critical spirit. It will break relationships. It will divide congregations. He was actually speaking to the church. And they were in a serious place. They're in Galatians. We talked about that a number of months ago. But they were in a place. He's saying, you all be careful. You start to get critical. He said, you be careful. You bite and devour one another. He said, you're going to be consumed. You realize a church that gets critical, a congregation that gets critical, is going to destroy itself from the inside out. You see, if we can't get along and show love for us, what do we have to take to the world? So does that mean that you're going to agree with everybody? Does it mean you're going to think that everything everybody does is right? I don't think so. But it means that we can look at those differences with the Spirit of Christ, looking and seeking for peace and reconciliation and love and oneness. So I just want to encourage us to be on guard about that, because it will. The other thing it does not only break relationships, it robs you of your own peace. You become agitated, restless, and unhappy. Because it's been jokingly said by some and seriously by others, there's so many problems and so little time to deal with them. And that can be the way we view life, is just looking at all the problems all the time. Do you know that has a way of disrupting? It's really hard to be at peace in your spirit when you're so agitated because of just this critical fault-finding spirit. Well, I do want to make mention that discernment is different than a critical spirit, all right? A critical spirit is not the same as discernment or recognizing a problem. Just because you recognize a problem doesn't mean you have a critical spirit. But there is a right way to offer correction with humility and with love, with the desire to build up, not to tear down. Critical spirit corrects with pride, with self-righteousness, and no one's perfect. So when there are problems that have to be addressed, if they have to be addressed, they should be addressed with the Spirit of Christ. The words that you speak, that we speak, should never be for the purpose of tearing down. If you in a relationship find that you are saying things for the purpose of making someone else feel bad, that's time to go get on your knees. That's the time to start looking at self, realizing maybe my point is correct. Maybe what I see really is a problem. But if you approach it from a standpoint of wanting to put someone in their place, it's not going to be constructive. It's not going to bring about the end that we all ought to want, which is better relationships, which is more unity, which is being more like Christ. Which means we need to measure our own words. Because, see, it's really easy to see the faults of other people, isn't it? Isn't that much easier? When people do things and say things and act in certain ways, it's easier to recognize where they're not doing it right. But a lot of times it's harder for us to see ourselves. And so I want to encourage us to start listening to yourself. There have been times I wonder if people even hear themselves. Do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear how you're talking? So our job is to look at ourselves, that we not fall into this critical spirit. So there is a biblical solution this morning to a critical spirit. There's a biblical solution for it. And we've touched on it, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind one to another. You know that right there is going to take care of this. Because a critical spirit is not kind. Critical spirit tries to tear down. So be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. And then you know what the next part says? What's it say? Why do we need to forgive one another? We might, and we will. But do you realize we need to forgive because other people do have faults? They do have faults. We all do. And so what the Scripture teaches us is be kind. Be compassionate. Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This will take care of a lot of problems in relationships, folks. It'll take care of a lot of problems that come in congregations. It'll take care of a lot of issues between brothers and sisters. But Lord, help me to have that spirit of kindness and forgiveness. And help me, Lord, not to begin to develop a critical spirit of harsh judgment, lack of compassion, tearing down with words, but rather let our words be building up. Now, another very familiar passage is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where it teaches us about love and what it is. Charity suffereth what? Long. Have you ever had to suffer long? Now, please don't nod your head, but I'm going to ask the question. Have you ever had to suffer long with someone that you live with? You want me to nod my head for everybody? Do you realize that when you are suffering long with someone, do you know what they're doing? They may just be suffering, I don't know. But they're suffering long as well, right? Because everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody has different perspectives. This is not excusing wrongdoing. But here's what the scripture says. Love covereth what? Okay, there have been some people that have misinterpreted that. I think we addressed that in our Scriptures Taken Out of Context series. There are people that take that scripture and say, well, if you love, you just, it's almost like you just bury it. That is not what the scripture means. It does not, love does not ignore a problem, but it means when you deal with the problem and you relate with people that have a problem, it is under the umbrella or it is covered by love. I'm not operating from the standpoint, I'm not covered with a critical spirit. I'm not operating, I'm not covering it with pride. I'm not covering it with self-righteousness. But love covers a multitude of sin, forgiveness, kindness, long-suffering. It doesn't mean I love someone so much that I don't see anything wrong they do. If you loved your children, some of the children say, yes, if mom and dad loved me enough, they would never correct me. Because love covers a multitude of sins. No, it means the discipline that does take place is covered by love. It should never be done out of anger. It should never be done out of frustration. It should never be done because I'm just upset and so I take it out on the children. That's a wrong way to do it. But it should be covered by love. And that is what it means for us this morning. That's the biblical solution. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. See that root of jealousy that causes this? Charity, it envies not. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So there goes the pride now, because charity doesn't respond based on pride. It said, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. All right, what about in personal relationships, folks? Have you ever had a conversation with someone, a difference, and it kind of got escalated just a little bit? Has anyone ever had that in a relationship? There is a difference, there are some frustrations. You know, being saved does not deliver you from frustrations, right? But it's in how we respond to those frustrations. And so if you've ever been in one of those quote-unquote discussions, every married person know what I'm talking about? There was a discussion. The scripture said, "It love seeketh not her own." In other words, it's not just about me. Because people tend to be very self-focused. How I feel, what I think, my perspective. But do you know that it is a sign of spiritual maturity when we can start reflecting on the other person? How do you feel? How does this make you feel? So the words that we speak should not tear down, but they should build up. And he said, rejoiceth not in iniquity. When there is wrongdoing and you see it, see, the critical spirit will dwell on that, but this scripture says that it does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth, and it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. So the answer this morning to a critical spirit is love, kindness, humility, forgiveness, and may I say one more very important one? We could have a whole lesson on that, on acceptance. I accept you. You know, if we're going to accept anybody into our life, it's going to come with some flaws. You know, saints are people too. Saved people have faults. And you know what? I don't want to dispel anybody's romantic ideas of romanticized ideas of the church. But when you go sit down in a crowd of three or more, or two or more, the person sitting close to you, there's going to be some faults because they're human. And we can come to fellowship, we can go to camp meeting, we can go to Monarch with a critical spirit and just look around. And I recently was listening to someone talk, and they were pouring out criticism. And I just kept my mouth shut because I knew there was nothing. You cannot satisfy a critical spirit. There's nothing you can say. You could try to defend someone or something, even on issues of Scripture. When someone gets critical, you might as well just take a step back and suffer along with them. Show them love. But a critical spirit can't be satisfied. So when we come together, just recognize we're all people. We need to forgive one another. We need to not be so judgmental, folks. And this starts at home, in the church, and beyond that in our relationships. A critical spirit, as we close here this morning, a critical spirit isolates people. It isolates. It wounds people, and it divides. But the Spirit of Christ draws people together. The Spirit of Christ heals, it restores, and it builds up. May God bless you.